This is Radio Influence. This is the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence. Your weekly glimpse inside all things Valor Fights, and a look at what's going on in the rest of the MMA community. Here are your hosts, the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy, and your color commentator, Casey Oxendine.
Welcome to the Valor Hour, a look into everything Valor Fights, as well as the headlines from combat sports across the world. Thanks for joining us, and please remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts as well as Stitcher. Also, a huge thanks to our tremendous sponsor, Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl for supporting our cause each and every week. This week, we recap UFC 222 and also look back at a big Bellator Monster Energy weekend. Plus, we preview Strikefest 3, which goes down this Saturday night. And as always, Valor Fights President Tim Loy will address your questions during the Valor Hour Q&A segment. I'm Casey Oxendine, and I am joined by the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy. Tim, how's it going, man? We've got a big weekend coming up here. Mixed martial arts action inside a ring.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. It's been a minute since I've gotten to see a show inside a ring. You know, it's been a couple of years, actually. So I'm excited for it. I think it certainly changes the dynamic of everything and just kind of a nice little change.
Yeah, undoubtedly. Well, we're also joined by a few guests this week. The usual suspects. We're talking about the photographer, Alan Poole, and the ace cut man, Mark Laws. Guys, how are you doing tonight?
Man, we're doing great.
A lot of times I just let you two, I kind of turn Mark and Alan loose on each other and let them kind of go at it and get them good and fired up. So I was expecting a little bit of crossfire there and I didn't get nothing.
No, well, we're in the same room, so I can't talk so much smack. It's different when he's in the room with me.
Mark will get out of control. I see what you're talking about. All right, well, let's head on into the news. It was last Saturday night, UFC 222, live from Las Vegas, Nevada. And, of course, it was headlined by that big WMMA bout, Cyborg versus Kuniskaya. And, I mean, it was more business as usual when you're talking about Cyborg. She gets in there and gets the first round TKO via ground and pound. Tim, talk about it.
Yeah, man, it kind of went how most people thought it would go. There was that one brief moment where Kuniskaya got her back, but that was very brief. And other than that, it was her getting pummeled. And, you know, she was really game and hung in there. And I think she'll be, you know, she'll be in the mix at 135 when she goes down there and wins some fights. But, yeah, just no match for Cyborg. The striking was just way too overwhelming.
Mark, what do you think about the fight? And what do you think is next for both Cyborg and Kuniskaya?
You know, Kuniskaya, if she goes down to 35, I think she could probably be a contender. She'll do well. As far as Cyborg, man, they're going to have to start letting her fight dudes. I'm afraid that's – I saw something about CM Punk earlier. So if that happens, then I don't know. She might get a challenge. Till then, I don't know anybody stepping up for that.
Well, it was also a massive co-main event. We're talking about Brian Ortega versus Frankie Edgar. Ortega gets it done, round one, TKO via punches, and he kind of shocked the world. Of course, Frankie Edgar, he handled it like a champ, Tim.
Yeah, man. That was the fight that I was the most excited for. That was the true main event, and Ortega really showed out, man. That was great. I was for him. I wanted him to win, I was certainly not 100% sure it would happen. You know, Frankie had never been finished, to my knowledge, and so for Ortega to knock him out, you know, I think most people thought if Ortega was to win, he would find a submission somehow. But he man, looked great. That was, you know, real big, and that, you know. Props to Frankie for putting it on the line out there. You know, I think there was a lot of chatter on the internet, you know, how he really didn't have to do that. He could have just, you know, kind of stayed in his lane and waited on that title fight with Max. He put it on the line and did go his way. So now, you know, Ortega kind of jumps to the front, and I'm pumped for that.
Undoubtedly. Alan, what do you think about Brian Ortega and his chances at becoming UFC champ?
Man, that guy shut me up so bad this weekend. When I heard some of my friends taking money, I was like, you guys are crazy. There's no way. There's no way that Frankie Edgar is going to lose to Ortega. But time and time again, Ortega, T-City shuts me up. one of these days I'm going to learn. So I'm just going to get on his side now and just assume he's going to win. Right. That's what I think. What's next for him? I don't know, man. I guess I don't know who would be next for T-City. Man,
Max. It's Max.
Oh, it is. Oh, that's right. It is Max. Yeah. Oh, there's no way. Well, I'm already starting to root against them again, but no, I'm going to stay with T-City. That was just bananas. Oh, and that uppercut he landed. Did anyone – he lifted Frankie off of his feet. Like he was like – God, that was like something out of Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Yeah, definitely Street Fighter II style right there. It was picture perfect. Now, moving on down the list there, Sean O'Malley picks up a big win via unanimous decision. An old schooler in Andre Arlovsky, he was back. He got a decision victory over Stefan Struve. And then Caitlin Vieira, she gets a split decision over Kat Zingano. And then, of course, Mackenzie Dern, another WMMA fight there. Mackenzie Dern, the jiu-jitsu phenom, makes her UFC debut. And she gets a split decision victory over Ashley Yoder. Tim, what else stood out to you?
Man, I thought O'Malley and Sukumtal was awesome. That was a really fun fight, and it was kind of like a nail biter at the end because, you know, O'Malley hurt his foot, and yeah, I think had his opponent had a little better, you know, fight IQ, he could have just backed up off of him and made him stand up, which he could barely even walk. And there's a good chance the referee may have called off the fight, but he stayed out on the ground with him and, you know, let the time run out. And he'd already had lost the first two rounds, you know, so it was too little too late. But, you know, had his fight IQ been a little different, he may have gotten a weird stoppage at the end. But props to Sean O'Malley, man. He played it smart. He did what he realized what he needed to do at the end to keep it on the ground and just, you know, stay off of that foot and survive. And he did. And so they announced him as the winner with him like laying on the ground still.
Absolutely. Well, as that went down, we also had another big event going down in Atlanta, Georgia, there at the World Congress Center. It was the Bellator Monster Energy Series, and you guys were down there. And, you know, it's an event we know very well. We were a part of it last year for both the Bristol race and also Talladega. But this time it was down in Atlanta. It was an indoor event, so a little bit different. But we had three fights on the card. You know, it's always short and sweet with the Bellator Monster Energy Series because there's so much going on there with Monster Energy. But we saw Joseph Creer get the split decision over Devorius Tubbs. We saw Devontae Sewell with a submission victory over Zach Cooper. And then we saw Mike Galatello defeat John Vaughn via rear naked choke submission. So three big victories there. Tim, you were there front and center. Talk about the event and what you took from it.
It was a good time. It was a lot of people there, as always. Those events always attract a lot of people. So they had a fairly large amount of, you know, I mean, it was people jammed up, all, you know, as close as you could be. And definitely a cool atmosphere. We didn't get to go over there and see the actual Supercross, but a lot of the riders and whatnot were coming over to the pit party is where this thing was. And so it was good. It was, the fights were good and, you know, good vibe, good times. And it's all, like you said, it's always short and sweet. I thought the Devontae Sewell and Zach Cooper fight was the best fight. And that was probably the fight that honestly I had the least expectations for, but, man, both guys put on a great fight. Devontae Sewell looked really, really good.
So, you know, again, I wasn't there, so I wasn't able to see firsthand, but as far as the way it played out, of course, when you're at the racetrack, you're going to see a lot of the race fans. You're going to get that kind of energy. And, of course, it's outdoors, so you can feel more like you're in a festival. Was this more like a fan expo, kind of, if you were to go to, like, the UFC fan expo and so forth? Was it different in that way?
Yeah, they had a lot, you know, they had obviously a lot of, like, merchandise and things like that. But all of the riders, they had like ships where they'd come in and they would set up and do, you know, meet and greet, autograph sessions, things like that. And then there were like interactive where you could like learn to ride and those type of things. So it was cool. It was a, you know, really interactive thing. You had to have a ticket. Now, it wasn't like a free kind of gig like the other ones had been. You had to have a ticket to the motocross to get in, and then get like a Monster Energy can would get you on into like as well to this this pit party thing.
Well, that being said, the Bellator Monster Energy is a must see. Now, of course, we're looking forward to the rest of the schedule coming up because race season is on its way. So we'll definitely have our eye on that. And I can't wait for more in that regard. With that being said, it is time to head on into the Valor Hour Q&A segment. All right, Tim, here's the first question. How far do you think Sean O'Malley can climb in the UFC's bantamweight division in light of his impressive win at UFC 222 on Saturday?
I think the jury's still out on that. I think he's got a ton of potential, and he's so young, so I think he potentially can climb all the way. It's still early. You know, he still hasn't fought anyone that's, like, just an elite wrestler yet that can really test him to see if he can get up or stay up or, you know, hit a submission or not, you know. So I'd like to see him against just, like, a power wrestler next, or maybe not even next, but, like, it's before I make that call.
Undoubtedly. All right. Well, moving on. Big story this week is Mike Perry and his girlfriend Coach breaking up. Are you interested in the personal lives of fighters, or do you think the media focuses too much on that aspect in their coverage?
I take interest. I think those intangibles can play a big role in how things shake out in the cage.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It definitely adds to the appeal. You know, WWE is popular for a reason. There's a lot of drama there, and I think mixed martial arts is learning from that a little bit. Moving on, the UFC paid Tim Means for his robbery in the octagon at UFC Bellum. Have you ever paid a fighter their win bonus when they've been on the receiving end of a really bad judge's verdict?
I can't recall anything that sticks out to me that's just been an absolute travesty. There's been some calls that people didn't agree with, but, you know, if I absolutely stepped out of the box and just looked for any way that a judge could have seen it that way, I think every time that there's been a questionable call, it's at least been in that regard where you could at least be like, well, maybe I don't agree with it, but I guess in this realm of reality, I could maybe see it, you know? So I don't know to that. I haven't had anything that's just been ridiculous.
Undoubtedly. All right. Well, moving on. What was the rationale between making Lindsey Jones and Robert Hales bout a number one contender fight? What do you think would be the best game plan for each fighter on March 31st?
Oh, that's good. You know, I think the rationale is, you know, these guys have all been on a hot streak and winning. And our 170 title is vacant. And we've got just a trio, if you will, of very exciting fighters that no matter which combination we end up with Jason King versus the winner, I know it's going to be good. I know it's going to be exciting. King versus Hale, King versus Jones, either way you look at it, it's going to be good. So, you know, we wanted to reward these guys, you know, with an opportunity here. And I think it's going to be great. As for game plan, man, that's interesting because, you know, both guys are so good everywhere. I think that Lindsey may potentially, I think we'll want to go to the ground, and try to submit him, you know, with what I'm sure they think is a superior ground game. Hale, I think, is going to want to bang. I think he's going to, you know, go out there and be physical and push the pace and stay in Lindsey's face and, you know, make him really fight.
All right. That sounds good. Very excited for that main event. Moving on, one more question after this. What's one fight that you think fans might be sleeping on for Valor 48?
Oh, okay. Let's see. Sleeper fight for Valor 48. I'm going to go with our female fight with Emily Geddes versus Shannon Goffrey, because I think that's a fight that is flying under the radar somewhat, but I know that it's going to deliver. Both these girls are very tough and gritty and really want this win, you know, and they're both, you know, very confident coming into it. And I think that's one that will surely deliver.
Absolutely. Tons of respect for both of those competitors, and they've really earned their stripes in this sport. Final question. Can you give us any sneak peeks at Valor 49?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I can give you the names of some people that we expect to be involved. You know, I can't release any fights and shit. Next week, I really hope to be able to start pounding on that one, you know. But, you know, we expect to have, you know, a female showcase once again. Your girl Megan Poe will be on the card. KMA will have several females on the card again with Christina Ricker. And also we'll see the debut of Angela Sieber, who is, you know, she's kind of been around their camp for several years, but has never competed. So it'll be exciting to see her. I'm sure we'd love to get Olivia Parker on there with it being in Maryville as well. David Robbins is committed to this card, so we'll have David. We'll see the return of Austin Cowan, who's always an exciting fighter from NKI, undefeated, but has been very sporadic in his competition. But yeah, as you know, I mean, he puts on a show. So we're excited. You know, we know that we've got some really good fighters that are going to put on a good show at the Shed.
And undoubtedly, the Shed, the venue itself is spectacular. You know, it's outdoor, outdoors sort of, you know, it's under the Shed, but it's a really big Shed and it's great food and great times. So I'm so excited to return there in a few months. So that being said, that does it for this week's Valor Hour Q&A. Remember to email us your questions each and every week, and Tim will be happy to answer each and every one. With that being said, it's interview time here on the Valor Hour. We are joined by James Cody Bowens, undefeated mixed martial artist out of Team Oxendine in Johnson City, Tennessee. He heads into Strikefest 3 this Saturday night as he faces Cecil West. James, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The one and only.
Good to have you, man. For our listeners that have not, you know, heard of you or seen you fight yet, you know, you being young in your career, get us started by giving us a little bit of your background, how you got into MMA, you know, why you do what you do, and just a little bit of, you know, a backstory on yourself.
Well, man, yeah, I've been training off and on, you know, for about 7 years now. I started over here in Irwin and, you know, came across Casey's Gym, which is Team Oxendine, you know, about, I say, 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago now, and, you know, made a good home there. And, you know, I have to say that MMA kind of found me. I don't even really know how I got into it. I used to just like watching the fights, and, you know, I came across the MMA gym and fell in love with it. And, you know, now we're here. You know, I won my first fight, and I won it quick. You know, I didn't get to show all I could do in that fight, you know, but maybe this next one I'll be able to do that. And I'm feeling good and I'm feeling confident. And thank you guys for letting me be on your show, the Valor Hour.
So, you know, your first win, you fought Roger Ardrip, got a pretty quick, dominant win there. Now you're turning around here, you'll fight Cecil West, who he's 1-1, training out of the Adversity Training Center in Somerset, Kentucky, under Ian Lawler. So it's a reputable team. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what we can expect out of this fight with him, and, you know, why you think you'll be, you know, the better guy that night. I think from what I can gather, he's going to be more on the grappler side, you know, like you've shown yourself.
Yeah, well, I've watched both of his fights, and he looks like, you know, he comes out and starts quick, and, you know, he's very grappling heavy. And we haven't seen much of his striking, but I know now that, you know, I can punch, I can kick, and I can grapple, and I can submit, and, you know, I don't know if he can do all that. And, you know, I'm hoping in this fight I'll get to show off a little bit more of my hands and, you know, maybe show off some of my takedown defense. We'll see, I guess, but if not, you know, I'm comfortable off the ground, too. I just know that I'm a very, very well-rounded mixed martial artist. I'm not just the grappler. I'm not just the striker. You know, I can do it all. You know, I can clinch. I can grapple. And I'm also very confident right now. I train, you know, at Team Oxendine. I have some of the greatest teammates. And, I feel like, you know, Casey, he's been in the fight game so long, you know, he you know, if he talks about fighting, you better listen. He knows what he's talking about. And, you know, with Team Oxendine on my side, I feel like I can fight anyone right now, and I'm confident.
We'll go into that a little bit more then. You know, talk a bit about some of your teammates, you know, there at Team Ox that are getting you ready for this one. Some of the guys that have been, you know, a bigger part of your training camp, you know, and, you know, just something, you know, a little bit about, you know, your teammates there that also that are on the card. You know, you've got three other teammates competing on the card, and I'm sure it's always a lot better, you know, going into a fight camp in preparation when you've got teammates to kind of suffer through it with you.
Oh, yes, sir. I honestly really like competing with my teammates. And luckily for my last fight, I also got to compete with my good teammate Paco. And he's also going to be competing on this card with me. He's one of my, you know, one of my favorite training partners. He's, you know, very well-rounded. And then we've got, you know, Logan, who's not even 18 yet, he's 17. He's a killer grappler. He's in there grappling with me every day, striking with me. And we have people like Randall, who just recently picked up a win over in Knoxville, I believe, won with a quick submission. He's always in there sparring with me, grappling with me. You know, these guys, you know, they're deadly too, and they're just over here making me better than I am every day. And I've got, you know, Corey, who's also fighting on the card, is Randall's brother. He's bigger, and he's very dangerous in his own right. You know, a gust of wind off one of his punches could knock you out. And then, you know, we also always have JP in there, you know, showing everyone how hard he works and making everyone in there want to work a little harder. And I also have, you know, Preston Schick, 6-0, number one featherweight, amateur featherweight in East Tennessee. And he sparred with me a lot this camp. He's grappled with me a lot this camp. And I can't say enough about how good that training's been to have, just to have people on that level pushing me every day. And that's part of why I'm so confident now, just because of my training partners that I'm super, super blessed to have and be a part of this team. And I think that you're going to see a lot coming from Team Oxendine here very soon. There's a lot of us that are, you know, we're going to make some noise in East Tennessee.
Hey, this is Alan. I mean, we've met, right? I've taken pictures of you. Yeah, I saw that.
Yes, sir. I do believe so. Thank you for those.
Yeah. Okay. So you've been sparring with Corey, right? Who's also on the card, like you mentioned.
Yeah. I move around with him. I'll call that more of a he plays with me, but yes, sir.
Well, that's what my question was. Every time I see him, his traps are getting like a little bit bigger. Can he punch you with his traps? That was my question.
Me and him, we have a trap off. You know, we walk around flexing our traps at each other. And, you know, I definitely don't have him beat, but, you know, he flexes that thing at you. You better be dodging because it hurts.
All right. Great talking to you, man.
Real quick, James, I'm going to give you the opportunity to, of course, give some shout-outs where they're due. You know, all your friends, family, and, of course, you've already mentioned your teammates. And then also, real quick, your social media plugs, all the places we can find you, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and so forth.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. Well, you know, you can find me 5 to 6 days a week at the great Team Oxendine right off the old Bristol Highway in Johnson City, Tennessee. My Instagram, James Cody MMA. You can just search that on Facebook, find me as well. And, you know, I'd like to give a shout out to my amazing parents that are, you know, have always told me to, you know, follow my dreams. And that's, you know, that's why I'm here now doing what I want to do. My amazing friends and family that don't fight, that, you know, still come out and support me. There's not that many of them, but they come out. And, you know, also the main people that, you know, help me every day of my life, Logan Hilton, Randall Austin, Corey, all those guys are my friends, JP, Preston, I love all those guys to death, anyone that helps me prepare, and James Cody MMA on Instagram, give me a couple followers, I could definitely use those. Right now I don't have much of a fan base, but maybe that'll change in the future, but James Cody MMA, that's me, and I'm coming to steal the show this Saturday, March 10th, Carver Rec, Johnson City, Tennessee. Be watching for me. I'm a little guy, but I'll throw heat.
James Cody returns to action this Saturday night as he heads into Strikefest 3 facing Cecil West. James Cody Bowens, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Coach. See you tomorrow.
All right, that's it for a tremendous lineup of interviews, which means we are down to the final stretch. It's the Valor Hour main event, as we bring on our esteemed picks panel to make their picks for this Saturday's Strikefest 3. The event resonates from the Carver Recreation Center in Johnson City, Tennessee, and features amateur MMA and Muay Thai inside a ring. A throwback to the Pride days for all the old schoolers. Before we begin, let's introduce our picks panel. Chandler Cole, Alan Poole, Jeff Hobbs, Mark Laws, and Sawyer Rich. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us again here.
Hey, it's great to be here, Casey.
All right. Well, before we get started, Tim, I'm going to send it over to you. Of course, we are always keeping a running log of this season's panel picks. And yeah. So, Tim, you've got the numbers right there, and it's pretty competitive thus far.
Yeah, man, we've got, you know, we're doing our quarterly prize, which is sponsored by Dustin Koppel at Tennessee Top Roller. Shout out to them. They'll have another event coming up here, I think, in April. But, you know, going into this one, we've got two more events to go. We've got this event and then Valor 48. And so there will, till now, there's been 24 possible, you know, picks. And we've got a two-way tie at the top. Chandler Cole and Alan Poole tied at 14 and 10. And then we've got another tie right below them. Jeff Hobbs and Roy Sanders, both 13 and 11. So they're just one back. Sawyer Rich is in fifth at 10 and 14. He's four back. And Mark Law is bringing it up in the rear, 8 and 16. He is six back. He's got to turn it on here.
Well, Mark, if you're bringing it up the rear, you're going to have to shoot the moon, brother. You're going to have to go for it.
I do have to say a little preface here tonight. I don't want anybody to get their feelings hurt or anything like that, but I'm going to have to pull against some people that I love and people that I think might win, but I'm going to have to pull against them just to try to make up this. But I'm headed to the top. Know that.
All right. Well, fair enough. Well, without further ado, let's get this thing started. This Strikefest 3 goes down this Saturday night at 6:30 p.m. Of course, there at the Carver Recreation Center in Johnson City, and it's going to be a night to remember. And so we're going to go ahead and get started. Our first bout is presented by Power Siders Plus. It is a heavyweight matchup contested under amateur Muay Thai rules. The first competitor he fights is an independent out of Ringgold, Georgia. And a debut fighter, his name is Matthew Shahan, and his opponent, 2-0 competitor out of D3 Elite in Johnson City, Tennessee, Gary Too Tall Paul. Tim, let's hear the breakdown.
Yeah, that'll be the fight to get us kicked off with the Muay Thai portion of the card. And again, this will be in a ring, not a cage. So keep that in mind, gentlemen. We've got heavyweights to kick us off. Gary Paul's like always kicking us off, it seems like. So he always brings a good fan base. He's, as his nickname implies, he is very tall. And he's 2-0. And he's coming off a win at the last Strike Fest over Cephas Hewitt, in which he got him out of there in the first round. But he was stunned briefly, if you all recall. Originally, this was to be a rematch with Cephas, and they're going to lose the headgear at this point, which was potentially a factor in that last fight. Especially, it really hindered Cephas. But Cephas had some work issues, and now we have a replacement, Matthew Shahan, who we don't know much about. He's 23, he's 6'4", out of Ringgold, Georgia, and this is the first time he's competed, so it's hard to say what we're going to get with him, but, you know, he seems like he's game, and he's ready to come fight, so, you know, here we are. Oh, I will say this, with it being Shahan's debut, that means Paul will have to strap the headgear back on.
All right, well, let's head straight on over to our panel and get their picks. Let's take it to the lead first. Chandler Cole, who you got in this one?
I got Gary on this one. All right, Gary Paul.
Okay. Chandler Cole picks Gary Paul. Let's go to our co-leader, Alan Poole. Who you got?
Yeah, man, I'm going to have to go with a local guy, Too Tall Paul, in his own backyard with his fans. I'm going with Too Tall Paul.
Gary Too Tall Paul. That's two for Gary Too Tall Paul. The two head, the front runners, they pick Paul. Moving on, Jeff Hobbs. Who you got in this one?
Go ahead and preface this now. You know, we're dealing with a lot of guys way far east that I'm not you know, too familiar with here. I only, you know a few of these names here, but I'm sticking with my bread and butter when that happens, and I'm going towards the picking towards the gyms. And so I'm going with D3 over the independent. I'm probably going to lean that way against any independent nowadays, but I'm going Paul.
All right. Jeff Hobbs, he picks Gary Too Tall Paul as well. That's three up right now. Paul's in the lead. Moving on, let's head on over to Sawyer Rich. Who have you got in this one?
I mean, I have to play it safe. We're playing the game, so I have to score here and pick the odd pick sometimes. But I just can't be silly because I just think, you know, Paul is just with the confidence. He's 2-0 coming in, and I think he's going to smash it. So I'm going to pick Gary Paul.
All right, Sawyer Rich makes it four for Gary Too Tall Paul. Next up, let's get Roy Sanders. Let's get your pick here.
First off, I want to say big props to Shahan for coming from afar. You know, he's making a long drive and took a fight on short notice, so I love that. Secondly, I want to say this. You know, I wasn't really impressed with Gary, too tall. I wasn't impressed with him the first fight. I think Cephas, had he not had the headgear problem, I think that would have been a really scrappy matchup. But all that to the side, I'm still going to go with too tall in this one.
All right. Roy Sanders makes it 5-2 Paul. That leaves one. That leaves the cup man, Mark Laws. Who you got?
Man, Sheehan would have to come out and be a real savage for his debut to beat Gary. I'm taking Gary for sure.
All right. Mark Laws picks Gary 2-tall Paul. That is 6 straight. All 6 panelists pick Gary 2-tall Paul. It's going to be a great fight. The big guys in action in the leadoff bout. Moving on, bout number 2 brought to us by Boomtown & Company. It is amateur Muay Thai contested in the welterweight division. Austin Kurtz, 1-1 out of Guerrilla Combat and Mountain City, Tennessee, taking on Ivan Mendez, the debut out of D3 Elite in Johnson City, Tennessee. Tim, let's talk about this matchup.
I think this one should be fun. I think both these guys are going to come forward. They've both shown a lot of scrappiness and grit in their prior fights. Kurtz, 1-1 with his loss being to Dylan O'Sullivan, which is, you know, nothing to scoff at. He's very talented. And, of course, his win being in his last win, which was at VFW 2, he beats Brian DuPerry, who retired after the first round. But Kurtz has got a little bit of momentum coming right now. He's a big, strapping young kid. Tough guy and really, you know, wants to succeed. Ivan Mendez is going to be the smaller guy. You know, he's made 55, maybe could even do 45. So he's going to be giving up some height and reach, but he very skilled. And this being his first Muay Thai fight, it'll be interesting to see how that goes, because he's gone for takedowns a lot of the time in his MMA fights. But he's undefeated in MMA, comes from a good striking gym, and, you know, should be a good fight.
All right, Tim, let's take it right on over to the panel. Chandler, Cole, who you got?
Let's see. I got I'm going to go with Ivan on this one. Ivan, I don't know how this. I'm going to go with Ivan. No,
okay, Chandler, Cole, picks Ivan.
That's my pick.
All right. Very cool. Alan Poole, who you got?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Kurtz on this one. Dylan O'Sullivan, I think that's the one I saw him. He really put him on his ass bad. But that kid, I mean, he still got back up. And he's still
Kurtz kept getting up in that one, yeah.
Yeah, so he can take a punch. He didn't give a shit. He's got heart. So I'm going to go with him on this one.
All right. Alan Poole, he mixes things up here, going with Austin Kurtz. It's 1-1 in this one. Jeff Hobbs, who you got?
Yeah, I'm following Alan's lead. I'm going to take Kurtz in this one.
Okay, wow. All right, Jeff Hobbs goes with Austin Kurtz. That's 2-1 for Kurtz. Moving on into Roy Sanders. Who's your pick?
I know that Mendez's camp had to have seen that fight with O'Sullivan, and, you know, I don't think they would have let him jump in there with him had they not thought D-Long and them guys not thought that he could handle it. So despite the size advantage, I'm gonna go with Mendez.
All right, Roy Sanders evens things up, picking Ivan Mendez. That is 2-2 right now. Sawyer Rich, who you got?
I haven't really been impressed with Kurtz. So, I mean, I'm going to have to go ahead and pick Mendez for the, you know, and I feel like that's the unpopular pick right now. So I think he's just going to have more drive and outwork him maybe. So I'm going to pick Mendez.
All right, Mendez takes the lead yet again. This one's been back and forth. Finally, Master Cutman Mark Laws, who you got?
We have to go with Kurtz on this one for sure.
Wow. So, Mark, he picks Austin Kurtz. That makes it a tie score, 3-3. And I think it's going to be a great fight. I mean, and rightly so. I think it's a very well matched, and I'm excited for it. Moving on to bout number three, it's presented by Electric Cowboy Amateur Muay Thai in the light heavyweight division. It's Alex Lewandowski, 1-0 out of Newport Combat Club in Newport, Tennessee, taking on Corey Austin, also 1-0, fighting out of Team Oxendine in Johnson City, Tennessee. Tim, let's get the breakdown.
Yeah, this one should be fun. You know, we got Corey Austin coming out of Team Oxendine. He's 1-0 in both MMA and Thai fights. Won his debut Thai fight at the Electric Cowboy Show last year over Timothy Blevins. It was just savage there. He was, you know, very vicious. And then won his MMA debut just at Valor 47 in January over Gabe Teixeira in a real fight that kind of drew him out a little bit longer. So, you know, he's been successful so far. Hasn't learned how to lose yet, and is, you know, a young, strapping prospect that you know, has got a lot of high expectations. Not as much known about Lewandowski, you know, coming out of Newport Combat Club, trained by John Hall. He had his debut at a smaller promotion a month or so ago, and so I haven't really gotten to see a lot of footage on him, but he won a decision in that fight. You know, the one thing here I think that is the best argument for him is that his coach, John Hall, is surely very aware of who Corey Austin is, and they see something that makes them believe they can win. They're putting him in there. So I expect him to be prepared and a skilled fighter.
Undoubtedly. It's going to be a great fight. Let's take it on over to the picks panel. Chandler Cole, who do you got?
I got Corey Austin on this. I mean, I know he's known for being a wrestler, if it's the same person I'm thinking of. But, yeah, he's known for being a wrestler, but, you know, he's tough as nails. He already has one knockout under his belt, so I'm going with him. And I'm the pick man right now. You know, I'm in the lead for a reason. So I'm going to go with Corey Austin.
All right, Chandler Cole picks Corey Austin. Let's take it over to the co-leader, Alan Poole. Who you got?
You know, last time I picked against Corey, you know, just to get some mojo going. But I think he's got the mojo. I think Team Oxendine has got their swagger going. So I'm going to have to definitely go with Corey Austin, because anytime he's fighting, there's the trap factor, right? You don't know what he's going to do with his traps. I've heard he can choke with them. I've heard he can punch with them. Just take it from me. The traps are going to take it. Corey Austin.
Alan, no choking in Muay Thai competition, even with traps. Oh, well, all right, well, moving on. Right. I heard Roy that Sanders. Choke. Who's your pick?
I'm going to stick with everyone else and go with Corey Austin, Team Oxendine. I just think that, you know, I'm sure he's progressively got better. And, you know, each time he goes out there, he's going to get better. So I just see him going up. So I'm going to go with Austin.
Okay, that's three straight for Corey Austin. Moving on, Jeff Hobbs, who's your pick?
Yeah, I've got to, man, I'm not even going to front. I got to stick with Chandler and Allen. Now's not the time for me to make a move and try to go ahead in this competition. So I'm going Austin. I got to stick with the front runners right now.
All right, Jeff Hobbs picks Corey Austin. That's four for Corey Austin thus far. Moving on. Sawyer Rich, who's your pick?
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to play it safe as well. I'm going to have to go with Corey Austin. Of course, he has Oxendine behind him, and I just think he's going to be, you know, confident going in. This guy's making his debut from, you know, John Hall. But I've got to go with my pick and play the game and pick Corey Austin.
All right. Sawyer Rich picks Corey Austin as well. Finally, down to cut man Mark Laws. Who is your pick?
I'm also going with Corey Austin. I think the power is the difference in this one. I think Lewandowski. I saw him fight at the show?
I'm not sure what it is. It's something else.
I saw him fight. Anyway, he hit him a lot of times, but he just didn't have the power behind it. And you know, I do believe that Corey Austin has the power. He's going to get him.
All right, that's six straight for Corey Austin. I think it's definitely going to be great. These are some big boys slinging heavy leather. I've been there with Corey Austin, watching him train and so forth, and I've seen the footage of Lewandowski. Man, he comes to bang, and this is going to be a fan favorite fight for sure. Moving on to bout number four, brought to you by Cakes to Live By. It is amateur Muay Thai at a catchweight at 210 pounds. Lee Doomsday Polk, the debut independent out of Cleveland, Tennessee, taking on Caleb Frank, also a debut out of D3 Elite in Johnson City, Tennessee. Tim, let's get the breakdown.
Yeah, this one has got some high expectations, I think. You know, Caleb Frank's a guy that both these guys are making their Muay Thai debut, but neither guy are green guys. Both guys have trained for a long time. And Caleb Frank's a guy that is, I think he's a transplant from AJJ. So he's been training for a while, but he's only been with D3, I think, for a few months. The report on him is he's just a beast, that he's a stud athlete, and he is well-rounded and aggressive and just, you know, a handful. We all know Lee Pope. This will be his first Thai fight, I think. But, you know, he's fought for us several times in MMA. He had a knockout of the year, if I'm not mistaken, last year. You know, so we know he's got power. And I think that this is definitely going to be a fan favorite fight, too.
Yeah, and Lee, it's odd, you know. Lee Polk also just came back from the grappling. He had a pro grappling match here recently, so he's kind of stepping out, doing all different facets of combat sports. So it's very interesting. Let's head to the panel. Let's take it right on over to Alan Poole. Who have you got?
Man, there's no way I'm gonna pick against Lee Doomsday Polk just because of his personality, how nice he is, and how, I mean, he just brings it every time. I've seen him pour his heart out in the cage. I've seen him to where I didn't think that he could possibly, like, he's just on his way down. He's almost about to be knocked out and then just throw a haymaker and knock the dude out. So there's always that factor. He always has the power. So I'm going with Doomsday.
All right. Alan Poole picks Lee Doomsday Polk. Chandler Cole, who you got?
I really like Lee. I really do. And I hope that he wins. But because Alan picked Lee, I'm going to pick Caleb Frank because I'm in this competition not to tie, but to win. And he's built like a tank. So I'm going to go with Caleb Frank on this one. Love you, Lee, but there's money involved.
All right, Chandler Cole, he goes against the grain. He picks Caleb Frank 1-1 right now. Jeff Hobbs, who's your pick?
I'm going with Chandler on this one, though. I'm going to have to go against Polk on this one. That's my final.
So you're going with Caleb Frank?
Yep, going with Frank.
Okay. Well, Jeff Hobbs picks Caleb Frank. That's 2-1 for Frank right now. Moving on, Roy Sanders, who have you got?
I'm going to go with Frank as well. You know, if he was doing AJJ before and now he's with the new team that, you know, working on his striking, I think he's just going to be more well-rounded. They said he's a beast. I believe him. So I want to go with Frank.
All right. That makes 3 for Caleb Frank, 1 for Lee Doomsday Polk. So, Sawyer, real quick, who you got between Doomsday Polk and Frank, Caleb Frank?
I think I'm going to have to go against my better judgment, Frank. And I'm going to go for the, I think, an upset in this one.
Who is the upset?
I think Caleb Frank is going to be the upset, so I'm gonna go ahead and pick him.
Yeah. All right, cut man Mark Laws, who you got?
Man, I love Lee Polk, love him like a brother. Caleb Frank is he's a different kind of animal, man, and I had the pleasure of seeing him train the other day, and he's going to be too much for Lee, I believe. I think you might get him in the second round, but yeah, definitely going Caleb Frank.
All right. Mark Laws picks Caleb Frank, and Caleb Frank takes it from the picks panel. That's going to be another great fight. Two big guys, man. It's a lot of big guys here on the undercard. I'm very excited for all those. Going to bring a lot of heavy leather there. Moving on to bout number 5, presented by the Electric Cowboy. It's amateur MMA in the lightweight division. Bud Cook, 0-2, independent out of Wilmington, North Carolina, taking on Caleb Miller, 1-0 out of KMAA in Knoxville, Tennessee. Tim, talk about this matchup.
Yeah, you know, we've got Bud Cook, who last time we saw him, it was at the Knoxville show in the late summer of 2016, and he was Chris Buttrey's debut opponent. But he fought that fight to, you know, he fought Buttrey at 170, and you know, he came in like under, and Buttrey came in over, and so he was just outsized. And now he's fighting at 155, which he'll be much better suited for, coming all the way from Wilmington, North Carolina, and he'll be fighting Caleb Miller, who had a great fight in his debut at the Shed in June of last year, and he had a fight of the night in his debut against a guy from Killer Bees, and so really a good prospect. He is coming off a shoulder surgery, so he's been on the shelf now for, you know, a good while, so it'll be interesting to see how that goes. You know, he's trained by KMAA, and does his fitness with Shamir and Peshawa. So I think, you know, he's a guy that that they've got high hopes for.
All right, Tim, great frame. Now let's take it to the picks panel. Chandler Cole, who you got in this one?
I'm going to go with Caleb Miller on this one. Like I said, I never have explanations, but I go with my gut and it works.
All right, so you pick Caleb Miller.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, Chandler Cole picks Caleb Miller. Let's do the co-leader here. Alan Poole, who you got?
Yeah, pretty simple for me. I've been watching Caleb train since he started, you know, seen him go from terrible to like pretty good. You know, he's training there with Dre Miley, Nick Gertz every day. Kid's a hard worker. Man, it's a no-brainer for me. Caleb Miller, man, I love that kid.
All right, that's two for Caleb Miller. Let's take it over to Jeff Hobbs. Who's your pick?
Yeah, still, I'm like Alan, no-brainer here. I'm not picking an independent against a KMAA trained fighter, so I'm going with Miller as well.
All right, three for Caleb Miller. Roy Sanders, your pick.
I'm going to go with Caleb Miller as well. I've realized that when it comes to Knoxville fighters, if I can listen to Alan talk first, I kind of feel good about my pick. So I'm definitely going to KMAA in this.
I'm going to have to go ahead and pick Caleb Miller on this one.
Saw your Rich picks, Caleb Miller. And finally, Cupman Mark Laws. Who's your pick?
I'm also taking Caleb Miller for the sweep.
All right, and that's absolutely what it is. Clean sweep for Caleb Miller in this matchup. It's going to be great. Of course, that's the leadoff mixed martial arts match of the evening. Now moving on to bout number six, presented by Powersiders Plus. It's amateur MMA in the welterweight division. Paul Ochino, 1-3 independent out of Knoxville, Tennessee, taking on Paco Maris, 8-7 out of Team Oxendine in Johnson City, Tennessee. Tim, let's hear it.
You know, this is a fight that, you know, has potential to be really exciting. I think we put it together with the hopes of what it has potential to be. I think if it stays standing, it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, Paco with a lot of traditional martial arts experience. Ochino, obviously, as well, has got some sort of, you know, karate background and likes to flick out some crazy kicks and stuff as well. So I think if they stay standing, then it's going to be a lot of fun. I think if it goes to the ground, Paco is going to have a pretty big advantage, which just depends on what Paco wants to do out there.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this, man. You know, Paco is Paco, and he comes out there to entertain and have fun. So I think we're going to see a lot of action for sure. Let's take it to the picks panel here. Alan Poole, who's your pick?
Man, I really like Paco. I just like the energy that he brings, like you were saying. Like, you know, he comes to entertain. He's mindful of the audience that he's fighting for. He makes it exciting. And I see him banging this one out and then probably sneaking a takedown and submission. So I'm going with your boy.
All right, Alan Poole picks Paco Maris. Chandler Cole, who's your pick?
Same, I'm going with Paco. I like you. I can hear you.
Okay. All right, you have your reasons. Paco has it. He's up 2-0. Jeff Hobbs.
I just like the word Paco. I tell you what, if we could combine their names, Paco Ochino is really cool. Fucking cool.
Yeah.
Put them together, Pacino.
Pacino.
Yeah, I'm going with Paco as well, man, just so I can say Paco one more time. Paco.
All right. Paco Maris up 3-0. Take it over to Roy Sanders. Who have you got?
Man, just said Paco so many times, I'm going to have to go watch Bloodsport and watch Paco and Jean-Claude kick each other.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to go, man, this is one of, I don't know. I was looking at the fights, and with Ochino stand up, and if Paco comes to stand, I think it's, I don't know. This was a tricky one. I almost went against the grain here, but I'm going to have to stick with Paco in this one.
All right, Roy Sanders picks Paco Maris as well.
Oh, wow. I think I'm going to have to go with Paco Maris. Just, you know, I know he's with Oxendon, and I know he's going to have a really good push and the experience of, you know, factor on his side for sure. So I'm going to go with Paco Maris.
Sawyer Rich picks Paco Maris. And finally, Master Cut Man Mark Laws, who's your pick?
I don't think Paco does him in, man. I think he lights him up on the feet and probably takes him to the ground and subs him out. He's just, he's too much. Striking's great, though.
All right. Well, Paco Maris gets a clean sweep here. Again, though, it is really slated to be a very entertaining matchup. The fans are going to love it. Moving on to bout number 7, presented by Boomtown & Company. It is amateur MMA at a catchweight. At 165 pounds, Keon Jones, the debut out of East Ridge Fight Club, Chattanooga, Tennessee, taking on Aaron Phillips, 2-4 out of D3 Elite in Johnson City. Tim, let's hear it.
This is an interesting one. It's a mystery of sorts because we just don't know what we're going to get out of Keon Jones. Keon comes up with CJ Baker, who we saw debut in Knoxville and showed off some good wrestling. Now, I don't know that Keon has a wrestling background or not, but he does look to be a tall, rangy guy, athletic. And so, you know, we'll see what he can do. Aaron Phillips is a guy that's, you know, he's coming off a win, a pretty dominant win in his last one. He has succeeded, you know, whenever he's been able to keep the fight standing or when he can be on top with like very heavy, brutal ground and pound. He's a really tough, like, you know, come forward, you know, brawler guy. And he's, you know, he's has faltered whenever he has been on the ground and been submitted. So we just don't know what we're going to get out of Keon. If he's got a wrestling background or has got good wrestling, being with CJ, then he may give Phillips problems there. But if he's not, and we get us in, Phillips is probably going to want to keep his standing. If that's the case, then it should get a really exciting fight.
Well, we're also going to see Aaron Phillips at the bigger weight as well. I think did he not fight down at 55 or at least a catch of around 60 or so his last
round? Yeah. I think he may have done 60.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it would be interesting to see Aaron back up there, you know, fully, you know, hydrated and big. Let's take it over to the picks panel here. Chandler Cole, who have you got?
Well, I was checking my Twitter just now and I reached 2,000 followers, like as we speak. And Aaron Davis has 2 wins and 2,000 starts with 2, so I'm gonna go with Aaron.
All right, Chandler Cole picks Aaron Phillips. Let's take it. Let's switch it up a little bit. Let's go, Jeff Hobbs. Who you got?
You done messed up now, AA Ron. I'm going with Keon Jones.
Oh wow. Jeff Hobbs switches it up. He takes Keon Jones. Alan, who's your pick?
Yeah, I wanted to switch up too. I was going with Keon. Just he's my dark horse.
Oh.
All right. Helen Poole making some moves here, man, trying to switch things up on Chandler Cole. Let's take it on down the line. Roy Sanders, who have you got?
I just need Chandler to quit checking his Twitter to boost his ego and calling Aaron Phillips Aaron Davis. What's up with that? But I'm going to go with – and then I want to know what Jeff and Alan know about Jones that we don't, because they weren't really confident with that pick. But I don't know. Man, I guess I'm going to go with I'm going to go with Aaron Phillips. The way Tim was describing the fight, I kept thinking about Aaron Phillips being like a young Nick Baker, like about 30 fights ago. But I'm going to go with Aaron Phillips here.
All right. Roy Sanders ties it up.
Oh, I think that this could be also one that you could, you know, do the switcheroo and get a point on as far as the game we're playing here. So I think I'm going to go ahead and pick against Aaron Phillips. So Keon Jones, is that him?
Sawyer Rich picks Keon Jones. Mark Laws, who you got?
You know, I think Aaron Phillips just hits way too hard. He's going to come forward. He's going to be aggressive. And, you know, even though it's in the ring, he's still going to probably dump him and probably semi-strangle him or beat it, or at least bash him out a little bit, maybe. I don't know. I see it going both ways, but, you know, he definitely gets it done. Aaron Phillips.
All right. Mark Laws picks Aaron Phillips. He breaks the tie. Aaron Phillips with the win here via the picks here, picks panel. Moving on, bout number 8 presented by Cakes to Live By. It's amateur mixed martial arts in the lightweight division. Rich Hazard, 0-6 out of Team Hazard in Fort Wayne, Indiana, taking on Chase Winder, 4-6 out of KMAA in Knoxville, Tennessee. Tim, let's hear the breakdown on this one.
Yeah, this one is, we don't know a whole lot about Rich Hazard. He is winless. He is 0-5, I think, or 0-6. He comes from Indiana, and I really don't know him. Honestly, he was set to fight Chase Winder here on the Border Wars show that was canceled. And Hazard was going to be on Jimbo's end, and Winder was going to be from ours. And so when that show was canceled, you know, he wanted to fight still. He still wanted to keep the fight, and so we just moved it over here. He may be the lead guy. He's out of Team Hazard, so I guess he may have some other guys there that he may train, I guess. Looks to be in really good shape. You know, in his pictures, he's definitely in good shape. And Chase Winder, he is 4-6. This will be his first fight out of KMAA. You know, he's been on the scene for years and generally always known as a chaos guy under Josh Cate. Now he will be fighting under KMAA for the first time, coming off a brutal knockout loss, actually on the bad end of the knockout of the year from 2016 from Tyler Edwards. And that said, he was doing really well in that fight up until that point. He had some good moments. He just got caught. But it'd just be interesting to see, you know, it's been a year and a half since that. That was June of 2016. You know, has he picked up some, you know, some new tricks at KMAA? I'm sure he has. You know, is he gun shy at the same time after taking that knockout?
Well, and, you know, he also dropped the loss to Thomas Woolley just before that. And yes. I'll say this, Chase Winder is one of my very favorites. He is truly one of the, like, as far as the Valor Fights promotion, he is kind of one of the core guys. You know, he started out there when it was 3FC. He's been around for a lot of years.
Oh, yeah.
And, in a guy that, you know, we expected to turn pro a while back and is still in the amateur ranks and kind of, you know, making his way back up. So this is one that really gets my attention because you've got Rich Hazard, who, you know, we don't really know much about, but he's in great shape. And then you've got Chase that's making that return. So I'm very, very excited for that one. And I think it's going to make a great fight. Let's take it to the picks here. Chandler, who you got?
I'm going to go with Chase.
All right. Chase takes Chase Winder. Let's go on over to Alan Poole. Who's your pick here?
I'm definitely going with Chase Winder here in Knoxville. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely going with Chase Winder.
Okay, that's two.
I don't know.
Chase Winder. Heading on over, Jeff, who you got?
Tim, could tell me a little bit about Cakes to Live By. Give me a plug for them.
I'm hoping they've got a booth at this thing because I'm going to be over here living by them.
Sounds good. I'm going with Chase as well.
I don't know much about
Chase Winder.
That's D Long's. I'm sure D Long has the hookup.
Roy Sanders, you got?
You know, I looked at the record on this spot of Hazard, and then I seen that it was sponsored by the Cakes, and I was thinking that this might be a cake fight for Winder, but I don't know. I mean, the way Tim described him, and you know, he's in great shape. I kind of know a little bit about being on the other end of an upside-down record. So, like, I'm thinking about this dude, Saki. You know, he's coming in here to fight Winder, who has been around almost as long as me. And, you know, maybe he's just thinking he's been on the layoff. And, it's, you know, he's right for the picking. But the fact that he's with KMAA, I'm going to have to go with Winder.
Let's take it to Sawyer Rich. Rich Hazard or Chase Wender?
I think I'm going to have to go with Chase Wender on this one. I don't know. I'm trying to play the game correctly, and I'm excited for these fights, and I just got a gut feeling, so I'm going to pick Wender.
Okay. Let's head over to Cutman Mark Laws. Who have you got?
Yeah, Wender. Gonna be too much, man. Got to take him. He's going to get it done.
All right. That is a clean sweep for Chase Wender. Going to be a spectacular matchup there in the lightweight division. Moving on, bout number 9, presented by Power Siders Plus. It is amateur mixed martial arts at a catch weight at 180 pounds. Trevor Peak, 1-1 out of Shields of Achilles, Sand Mountain, Alabama, taking on Logan Buck, 2-1 out of D3 Elite in Johnson City, Tennessee. Tim, let's get the breakdown.
I think this one could be a really good fight. You know, I think Logan Buck coming off of a win in his last one, he looked dominant in that one. He's 2-1 with D3. Home fight for him. He's fighting Trevor Peak, and Logan's got really good wrestling. You know, that's the first thing you know about Logan Buck is he's got heavy ground and pound. In his one loss, he was submitted. And Trevor Peak, 1-1 coming out of Alabama, training with Sam McAlpin there. He hasn't fought in several years, but he's 1-1 against the same guy. And, we watched the video of him, and he won the first one with a knockout, and he fought the same guy and wasn't able to stave off the takedowns and ultimately got submitted. But, man, was this kid tough. I mean, he does nothing but come forward and throw very hard. And he's really, really – he doesn't want to – and he's not going to go away easy, you know. So if Logan's able to get his takedowns, then he'll certainly have the advantage, but it won't be without danger in going in for him.
All right. Well, that being said, let's head over to the picks panel. Alan Poole, let's get your pick first.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the local guy, Logan Buck. I think he's going to pull this one out and do it in his hometown.
Okay. Alan picks Logan Buck. Chandler Cole.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Mr. Buck as well.
All right. That's 2 for Logan Buck. Jeff Hobbs.
That's 3 for Logan Buck.
3 for Logan Buck. Roy Sanders.
Logan Buck controls him on the ground. The majority of the fight, he wins. Logan Buck.
All right. That is 4-0 for Logan Buck. So let's take it to Sawyer Rich. Trevor Peak or Logan Buck?
I think I'm going to have to go with Logan Buck on this one. And I think he's going to grind it out and get the win.
Let's take it on over to Master Cutman, Mark Laws.
I'm pretty sure Logan Buck's going to use him like a rag doll and just throw him around the ring for a long time. It's going to be ugly. Logan Buck.
All right. Clean sweep for Logan Buck. Again, going to be a great matchup there. Catch weight at 180 pounds. Two tough fighters. Moving on to our feature bout of the evening. It's bout number 10, presented by OEB Law. Amateur mixed martial arts in the bantamweight division. Cecil West, 1-1 out of Adversity Training Center in Somerset, Kentucky, taking on Cody Bowens, 1-0 out of Team Oxendine in Johnson City, Tennessee. Tim, this is going to be a great feature bout.
You know, this feature bout is going to be bantamweight action, and I think this one could be a really fast-paced bout. We've got two guys coming from two good teams. We've got Cody Bowens out of Team Ox. Won his first one pretty quick and dominant over Roger Artrip with a rear naked choke, if I can recall. It showed off very good grappling skills and was dominant. He'll have a definite step up here with Cecil West, who is also a grappler and out of the Adversity Training Center under Ian Lawler. I believe him to be a blue belt as well. I think both guys are blue belts. And, Cecil won his first fight by, I think it was a rear naked choke, if I can recall, or maybe a guillotine. He beat Josh Whitted from the Temple Boxing Group. Then he took a loss in Myrtle Beach, a pretty brutal one. He's coming off a pretty bad ground and pound knockout where he was knocked out by Austin Coleman. But Austin Coleman is one of the top prospects. I mean, that guy's really, really good. So no shame there. It'll be interesting to see how he bounces back.
All right. Well, let's head straight on over to the picks panel, and we'll start with Chandler Cole.
Yep. I'm going to go with Cody on this one.
Okay. Chandler Cole picks Cody Bowens. Alan Poole.
Yeah. Like I said earlier, Team Oxendine's got their swagger going. Don't have to pick against them. So it's going to be clean sweep for anyone. Oxendine for me. So Cody Bowens.
All right. That's two for Cody Bowens. Alan Poole. I'm sorry. Jeff Hobbs.
I'm not picking anybody from Kentucky. So I'm going with Cody as well.
Okay. Roy Sanders, who's your pick?
You say both of these guys are blue belts, and Bowen, is he the one coming off of two losses?
Now, Bowen is 1-1. He won his debut at the Electric Cowboy.
Bowen's is 1-0. Cecil West is 1-1.
Yeah, no one's lost two.
But one guy's from Kentucky.
Well, one guy is from Kentucky, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, my.
I'm sorry. I got confused because of some of the prior comments. Is West with Lawler?
Yes.
Okay.
Cecil West, the name of
it. And then the other guy was from Kentucky? Or no, Lawler's from Kentucky. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, Lawler and guys are from Somerset.
Kentucky.
I'm going to go with the Lawler's guy.
Okay, Cecil West for Roy, huh?
Yeah. All right, Roy takes Cecil West. 3-1 for Cody Bowens right now, but we were moving into the grand stretch here. Sawyer Rich, who are you picking?
I'm going to have to go ahead and try to play the game because I'm so behind, and I'm gonna pick Cecil West, even though, I mean, I think he may, you know, pull it off, but, you know, I've got to pick against the
All right. Sorry, Rich, making moves. He picks Cecil West. Cody Bowens up 3-2 right now. Well, we got Mark Laws closing it out here. Who you pick?
Man, it's a tough one. I'm probably going to go with Cecil West on this one. Just try to make a move.
All right. That makes it a tie game. And again, it's going to be a great matchup. Of course, we spoke with Cody Bowens earlier tonight, and he's one of my guys. I'm excited for this fight, and we knew that picking Cecil West, it was going to make a great matchup. That's what we come to do, is bring great fights, so I'm excited. That being said, moving on, bout number 11, it's our co-main event presented by Cakes to Live By, and it's amateur MMA in the heavyweight division. The big boys, CJ Baker, 1-0 out of East Ridge Fight Club in Chattanooga, Tennessee, taking on Brandon Follin, 1-0-1, the independent out of Barberville, Kentucky. Tim, talk about this big heavyweight matchup.
This is the one I think I'm the most excited for. These guys, man, they're big guys. They both have done super heavyweight, actually. This could have been a super heavyweight fight. I believe they'll both cut a little bit of weight to get to 265. CJ Baker is, he's a really big, tall guy coming out of Chattanooga with the East Ridge Fight Club group. His teammate Keon Jones earlier on the card. We saw him debut at Valor 47 in Knoxville just in January. A really dominant performance over Ricky Jones. Originally supposed to be the debut opponent for AJ Johnson, former UT linebacker, who we expect to see debut very soon here in the Valor cage. And this fight is kind of it's like a little eliminator of sorts, because both of these guys want a piece of AJ. CJ wants it. We saw him face off. Brandon Follin says he wants that fight too. And Brandon Follin, you and I saw him fight Randall Ross at Warrior in just an absolute slugfest. He is a bruiser and throws hard. He gassed in that fight, in a fight that he was doing really well in earlier. So if his cardio is up to speed, this guy's a hitter, he's really tough, former football player himself. And this is going to be a really interesting fight because, it being in a ring as well could potentially hinder CJ's wrestling and make us get a slugfest between two real big dudes.
We could potentially get squished out there at cage side as well if we're not careful.
And I hear AJ,
those guys goes over the top rope, man. It's going to be look out below, if you know what I mean, man. It's going to be a lot of fun, though. I'm excited for it. Let's take it to the picks panel. Alan Poole, first up, what do you got?
Well, just like Tim was saying, I can definitely verify that AJ will be there. He texted me earlier saying that he's going to be there. So that's going to be fun. Now, that makes it even more interesting because, you know, AJ's going to be there to probably, I don't know, maybe be there. Just his presence alone is going to make things like a little bit weird, I think, you know. He's just huge and all muscle, and like they both know that they're facing him next. It's they're going to want to put on a show. They're going to want to make an example of him, you know, like in front of AJ is what I'm thinking. But CJ, man, he's got so much confidence in himself. He is not lacking in confidence one bit. So, I'm going to go with CJ on this.
All right. Alan Poole picks CJ Baker. Of course, CJ, the last time he fought, AJ was there in attendance as well, you know, back in Knoxville. So, yeah, definitely interesting. Let's go over Chandler. Who you got?
I'm going to go with Brandon Follin.
All right. One apiece. We have one apiece here. Moving on, Jeff Hobbs. Who have you got?
Where was Follin from again?
He's from Kentucky.
CJ Baker.
All right. Jeff Hobbs picks CJ Baker. He's up 2-1. Royce Anderson.
I'm going with CJ Baker. Really excited about Casey talking about somebody flipping over the rope. Looking forward to it. CJ Baker.
All right, here we go. I think we got 3-1 for CJ Baker as we head here to the grand stretch here. Sawyer Rich, who's your pick?
I mean, I've got to go with CJ Baker. I think he's confident. He's got a lot of motivation behind him and want to push, so I think he's going to get it done.
4-1 for CJ Baker. Let's close it out here. Mark Laws, who is your pick?
Why anyone would look forward to fighting AJ. That's crazy. I'm going with CJ for sure.
All right. 5-1, CJ Baker takes it here with the picks panel in our co-main event, which means it's time for the main event. That's bout number 12 presented by Boomtown & Company. It is amateur mixed martial arts in the catch weight of 165 pounds. Logan Crowley, the debut independent out of Oneida, Tennessee, taking on Julius Bowling, 2-0, out of D3 Elite in Johnson City. Tim, let's break it down.
You know, Dustin Long, the promoter for this one, he really wanted Julius Bowen to main event this card at Carver. That's his, you know, that's where he's grown up and is very well known. So I imagine he's going to have a large fan contingency there and therefore a lot of pressure on him as well to perform and you know, be the main event. And there's not going to be any pressure on Logan Crowley. You know, Julius Bowling, you know, undefeated in everything. I believe he's 2-0 in both Thai and MMA, if I'm not mistaken. But hasn't fought top-level competition yet. We don't know what we're getting with Crowley at all. I can tell, you know, he was to be on the Corbin card, so we'd met him briefly. You can tell he's in shape. You can tell he's kind of farm boy strong. He does have some amateur boxing experience. I don't know what he's going to be like on the ground, though. And Julius Bowen is, you know, very tall and rangy. Going to have that crowd behind him. Yeah, who knows, man? It's I think, you know, all the pressure's on Julius to perform. And, you know, Crowley could come in here and pull the upset, or Julius could have a spectacular victory and elevate his stock even more.
All right, well, let's head straight on over to the panel. Alan Poole, your pick.
Man, Julius Bowling, undefeated in his backyard. I'm going with Julius Bowling.
All right, one for Julius Bowling. Chandler Cole, your pick.
Yeah, Julius Bowling for sure.
No All right, doubt. Chandler Cole picks Julius Bowling as well. Jeff Hobbs.
Yeah, hey, real quick, which WrestleMania was the Razor Ramon versus Shawn Michaels ladder match?
Nobody cares.
10?
Nobody.
10? Okay. 15? Okay, I'm just trying to find it real quick. Yeah. All right. Look, this night obviously was, you know, created for Bowling. He's in the main event spot against an independent. This was his night. I'm going with Bowling.
All right. That's 3 for Bowling. Roy Sanders.
Yeah, I was thinking last time I was in Johnson City at a fight, the hometown guy lost the main event. But I don't think D-Long is going to let that happen in B3, so I want to go Julius Bowling as well.
All right, four straight for Julius Bowling. Sorry, Rich. Who's your pick?
And I'm also going to have to play the game on this one again and pick Crowley for the upset. He looks like he's athletic, pretty strong, and I think his game as well. And maybe a little nervous, but excited. So I have a gut feeling he's going to pull it off, Crowley.
So are you Rich with the wild card. Master Cut Man, Mark Laws, your pick.
I just can't see a debut coming in here knocking off Julius like the. So I'm going Julius up the way.
All right, that is a clean sweep for Julius Bowling, and that does it for the official event preview for Strikefest 3. Remember, it goes down this Saturday night at 6:30 p.m., and it's right there at the Carver Recreation Center. It's going to be a big night of action, and it goes down inside the ring. So we're going old school style, Pride rules. It's going to be a lot of fun. So remember, get your tickets now. With that being said, that does it for another episode of the Valor Hour. Remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts as well as Stitcher, and please share this broadcast. We return right here next week as we continue our discussion on the biggest combat sports news from across the globe. A huge thanks to our great lineup of guests this week, our picks panel, and also our huge sponsor, Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl, for their tremendous support. For myself, Casey Oxendine, and Valor Fights President Tim Loy, this has been the Valor Hour.
For more information on upcoming events, visit ValorFights.com or find them at Valor Fights on both Facebook and Twitter. This has been the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence. This is the Landry Football with Chris Landry. Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
Always remember that the salary cap doesn't forgive and it doesn't forget. You must get something of value. You must get immediate production and longevity. None of this, well, this guy, we signed him as a free agent, he's going to take time to adjust. Yeah, that sounds good. You don't have time to adjust. It better happen, and it better happen now, or you've just made a huge mistake.
Chris Landry brings you Landry Football every week on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and, of course, RadioInfluence.com.